This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morris, and this week we're looking back at what was quite possibly the first nine-inning no-hitter thrown in the history of the Bates baseball program, which dates back to the 19th century. Plus, our four women's lacrosse seniors had a senior day to remember, and softball continues to thrive in NESCAC play. All that and more coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates baseball team played the University of Maine at Farmington last Wednesday at Leahy Field, and in a classic case of you never know what you're going to see at a sporting event, the Bobcats threw a combined no-hitter in a 17-0 win for Bates. Senior Ian McCaslin threw the first five innings, junior Max Dio tossed two innings after him, and seniors Christopher McGrail and David Miller finished things off with an inning apiece. McCaslin earned the win, and he is our male Bobcat of the week. All right, before we talk about the combined no-hitter, Ian, tell me a little bit about your background, being from Baltimore. When did you start taking baseball seriously? I suppose a lot of kids, you know, play when they're really young. But when do you realize this was kind of your sport and you wanted to, you know, commit to this and play it in college and everything?
The school I went to, Boys Latin, is actually a very lacrosse-dominated school. So at a young age, I was actually playing lacrosse. And it was one day my friend in first grade. This is so long ago, but like, it really does start that early for me with athletics. And my friend was like, yeah, you know, we're playing baseball this year. My dad's coaching the team. Like, I'd be awesome for you to join. At that point, I really wanted to be a part of something, like, with all of my friends right there. And that, I think, really catapulted my love for baseball, because in that instance, it was, like, my best friend that I grew up with for the entirety of my life. And he was right there along with me the entire journey. So, yeah. It really does come from that, like, fostering of friendships and playing it with them, too.
That's awesome. When did you realize you wanted to be a pitcher?
So I'd say this was about ninth or 10th grade.
Yeah.
I started taking lessons a little bit more seriously. I had obviously always been coached up and really enjoyed the sport at this time. But, like, it was at that point where I realized that my skill was probably good enough to actually assist me into, like, getting a better education. Like, because obviously I was a smart kid, but Bates is a really hard school to get into in the first place. So giving yourself the confidence to apply to a school like that, like, it helps having something that really makes you stand out. And athletics is a part of that, too. So I chose that, and that was what I really crafted my skills in during high school. And I liked hitting. It was just a little bit harder. Everybody understands that about baseball.
Right.
And there was something about the control aspect of being a pitcher. Like, that's what makes hitting a little bit harder. And I was pretty good at, like, just controlling the zone naturally. So that's when I decided it was the time to take it to the next level.
Yeah, you touched on Bates. I mean, how did Bates catch your attention for where you wanted to go to college? I mean, you're not from New England. You're from the East Coast. But Baltimore, I know, as you mentioned, we get a lot of lacrosse players from there. But how did Bates get on your radar for baseball?
I was originally looking more Southern schools. But I had one offer from Trinity. Mm. And then that kind of just, with COVID, fell apart.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like the right decision for either. And Bates was right there in the same league. And I was like, you know, I don't know why I haven't really considered this school. And truthfully, I needed to be a little bit more open to, like, what was going on in that situation. And I knew it was going to be a good decision, good place, great education. And it was a good opportunity for me, too.
So you throw five no-hit innings. You leave the game. Did you even, like, think about the possibility of, like, there being a no-hitter? Like, was that even on your radar after five innings?
I wasn't really thinking about it until the fourth inning. And then by that point, I kind of realized that I might not pitch the entire game. Just
right.
Because of, like, honestly, I have been dealing with a little bit of arm issues lately. But, like, they're all in the past. Like, it feels great now.
Yeah.
And it definitely showed during that game. It would have been nice to go all nine. But I understand the decision to pull and, like, get some other guys in there, too. Because It is a good situation to do that.
So you leave the game. Are you, like, monitoring it? Like, okay, still no hit. How many people in the dugout, like, realize there was no hitter?
You can do that. It's just, it's like this unsaid thing in baseball.
Sure.
You cannot speak about it. And
right.
I could tell people were definitely, like, thinking about it. And anytime somebody tried to talk about it in the slightest bit with me, I was just like, yeah, you know, it's a good game so far. We're it's a definitely good fun game to play in.
Well, it's sort of funny because, like, Leahy Field, for whatever reason, we don't have a hits column on the scoreboard. Yeah. So, like, if you weren't paying attention to the game closely, you probably wouldn't have realized what was going on.
Definitely, yeah.
Did David Miller know there was a no-hitter when he went in? Have you talked to him?
David did.
He
David
did.
Definitely
okay.
knew.
Yeah.
And honestly, David's been waiting for opportunities.
Yeah.
Just, like, he really loves to get back out on the mound. And I honestly, I think the minute he went out there, I knew it was going to happen. Like, he's been waiting for that, so.
It was somewhat of a muted celebration. I don't know. Did the team just feel like, you know, non-conference, we're focused on bigger things? Or what was the celebration kind of like afterwards?
It was kind of abbreviated because I will say,
like, it was cold also.
Cold day. We're all, like, also in the midst of our most busy academic time of the semester.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, honestly, a game like this just kind of came out of nowhere. And, like, we all, like, didn't even know how to react with that, like, in that sense. So, honestly, it was a fun surprise, and it really did – I think it did help get the momentum going in for the weekend a little bit because we played a pretty good team tough the entire way. The third game kind of got out of hand, but the first game and second game were awesome, electric games. And shout out to John Tully as well. Just another week after week, he's doing his thing. Diego as well. It's really good.
Yeah, and then, I mean, just – the history-making part of it, because I was trying to figure out the last time Bates threw a no-hitter, and there was a guy who threw like a five-inning no-hitter because there was like a mercy rule against like UMaine Presque Isle in 2004. I was like, I can't find a nine-inning no-hitter ever in Bates baseball history going back, you know, it goes back to the 19th century. I mean, what does it mean to you to be part of like something that maybe possibly has never been done before here?
Honestly, it's part of the reason why everybody wants to play baseball. It's like wherever you choose to go, wherever you really want to like make that decision to make your impact, to do something like this and like actually have that like that name like sketched in there. It's really cool. It is really cool to think about. I obviously you don't want to get too high on it right now because like at the same time there's an entire season to play and it really is like even in that outing, I felt like there were so many other things I could have been doing better.
Mm.
Just taking that into the next thing, it is about trying to think about it like it was just another game. Honestly, it's so hard to do it, but it is about thinking about it like that.
And you guys are 2-4 in NESCAC right now. So, you know, in the thick of things, I know you got some big games coming up with Colby and later on, of course, against Trinity. What are your thoughts on the rivalry matchup with Colby this weekend? I know you guys got one off them last year, and they're always a tough team, too.
It's fun. One of my better friends on the team here, Matthew, his brother,
actually plays
for Colby as well. So the little, like, rivalries in that sense, too. Like, playing baseball is such an awesome thing, and when you have a rival like Colby, like we did last weekend with Bowdoin. Like, things get heated. Things get, like, baseball starts to become, like, honestly, your natural instincts of playing baseball have to be showing in full, looking for a word here.
Effect?
Full effect. Yeah, thank you. It's going to be a really good weekend of baseball again. I'm excited to play Colby. We've got a lineup that could destroy that, so... It's right there, right on the precipice of, like, breaking out.
The bats are right there, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Seems like.
Honestly, it's not reflective of what the stats are showing right now. And I hate, like, that part of baseball, too, because players will get so down on themselves just by, like, looking at those stats. So I actually, like, genuinely, I haven't even opened, like, stat books at all.
Right.
That's something I try to save for the end of the year.
Yeah.
And the hitters, from what I've heard, it's low. It's not reflective of what their like skills are. They're really, really good hitters.
Yeah.
Very refined approaches. Gibby, Swifty, like Gaynor's starting to swing it again too.
Yes.
And that's like
clutch hit against Bowdoin.
That's gonna be one of the most influential parts of our season right there too. So
great. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on, you know, the combined no hitter or anything else you wanted to mention about the team this year?
You know, I'm just really excited to make the playoffs this year. I think I think we've put ourselves we always get to this point in the season where it's like it's gonna be an uphill battle. We all know it. But I think we've got a really, really awesome core of guys right here, and they're young, too. It starts all the way from the freshman guys. The energy's high with them. It's so fun just being out there and being a baseball player, and I know, like, even with the little time I have left, like, this is going to be the core of guys that we make a good impact, like, a really, really lasting impact on Bates baseball.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the Bobcats, you mentioned, right in the thick of it. Four of the five teams in each division make the postseason. The Bobcats are right there with Trinity and Colby. It's funny because teams have played so many different amounts of games. Yeah, Colby's only played three. Tussle's only played three. But Bates is right there with Trinity, certainly, and with Colby as well. Obviously, if you take three or two this weekend, you're in pretty, pretty good shape. Yes. Ian, congrats again on making history there, that no-hitter. And thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast.
Yeah, of course.
The baseball team followed up their win over UMF with a key 4-3 victory over Bowdoin on Friday, as junior John Tully turned in another outstanding performance, going 7 2/3 innings for the win. Unfortunately, the Bobcats dropped a pair of games at Bowdoin on Saturday, but they'll get a chance to bounce back this weekend when they visit Colby on Friday and host the Mules in a doubleheader this Saturday. Meanwhile, the Bates softball team went to Brunswick over the weekend for doubleheaders against number 13 nationally ranked Williams and Middlebury. Bates split both twin bills, and first-year Bridget Gaffney was the winning pitcher in both victories, as Bates is now 13-7 overall and 5-3 in NESCAC play. Gaffney threw a total of 8 innings without allowing an earned run, and she is our female Bobcat of the week.
Well, Bridget, before we talk about this past weekend, you're from North Andover, Massachusetts.
Yes.
Tell me about growing up here in New England. What got you into softball, and specifically, I guess, pitching also?
Growing up in New England was great. My family has been in North Andover for a few generations now. So my parents went to North Andover High School. My sister and I went to North Andover High School. And I got the opportunity to play sports with my sister in high school. And that was something that was really important to me and really special to be able to share that with her and compete with her and wear the same jersey. And it was a really great experience at North Andover. Softball-wise, academic-wise, couldn't have better prepared me for Bates. And I got into pitching when I was 8 years old.
Okay, yeah.
So I guess that's 11 years now. I'm 19. It's just something that my dad asked me, hey, you want to play softball? You want to try pitching? And I just didn't put down the ball ever since.
What made Bates a place for you, you know, when you were looking at colleges?
Just the culture. I really noticed it my junior year. I came here over April vacation for a visit, and Coach McKay met with my parents and I, and we were just blown away by the culture that she had created on the team. And you could tell that everybody who was on the team or at Bates really wants to be here and wants to work hard. And I love that competitive culture, that competitive atmosphere, and everybody just loves each other. And I love that. So it's been a really great environment to step into, the competitiveness, the love, and everybody has each other's backs, and it's just a great team culture, and I'm really grateful to be here.
And you're part of a group, you know, a first-year class where three of you pitch.
Yeah.
So what's that group like coming in together?
It's really awesome. Just we throw together. We're all best friends. It's really fun just to have everybody and just pitch together, eat together, whatever it is. It's been really cool to have that.
And then for you personally, you got on a roll here recently. In fact, you had two wins this past weekend. You've won three straight. The last three outings have all been victories. You've been kind of a tandem, right? You're coming in, you know, sometimes out of the bullpen, sometimes starting. How do you adjust based on what you're doing?
Whatever coach tells me to do, I'm
right.
ready for.
Right.
I really try and just be in the business kind of mindset where wherever they need me, I'm there. Whenever they need me, I'm there. So, you know, just got to be ready at the drop of a hat, which is exciting, but also something to definitely prepare for.
Four shutout innings against Williams, a team that was ranked 13th in the country. So what was working so well for you against, you know, this power-hitting Williams lineup?
Well, really, the mastermind behind all of this is my catcher, Bo. Mm. She's the best. She works with all the pitchers so well. She knows what to do. She's been a great mentor, great teammate. I really couldn't have done any of this without her. So shout out, Bo. She's awesome. She calls every game. So that game was lots of curveballs.
Okay.
Lots of curveballs, lots of changeups, you know, changing up speed is really important, especially since a team who's very strong hitting. They got some big bats in the lineup. So it's really important to change speed, change location, keep the ball off the plate in the rivers, and just can't put it in a spot where they can hit. So really nothing inside or just keeping it outside off speed.
And that was a 3-2 win for the Bobcats. And the next day, the Bobcats got a 5-3 win in a game you pitched, again, out of the bullpen, four innings, no earned runs. But you did fall behind, but the offense picked you up. And what was it like to see that?
It really just shows the team culture that I was talking about previously, where just the competitiveness and the hunger. We're all so hungry, and everybody wants to be here, and everybody wants to win. And I think we've really proven that as a team, especially if you look at the scores, we're really proven that as a team. And I got to do my job, but the offense does their job too. And that's so important. And I'm so grateful for that. They work really hard and it's great to see.
Every game is close.
It's like every game, especially in the NESCAC, is a dogfight.
Yeah.
It's a fight. And that's what makes it fun. Some would say stressful. I would say fun. I think it's great. And it really has made me a better softball player.
Looking at the team, you mentioned, you know, obviously hungry to win, 13-7, best start through 20 games, you know, since 2012. So what's it like to be part of this group that's, you know, in the process of, you know, making some history here? Long ways to go this season, but what a great start, right?
100%. I think that definitely is reflective of our leadership on the team. Mm. We have three great captains, Delaney, Ella, and Bo, and of course our coaching staff. Our coaching staff is the best, and so are our captains, and they just reflect that competitive culture. Every single person on the team comes in, works hard every single day, and it's awesome that that's showing. But yeah, I would say that's definitely reflective of our leadership, captains and coaches.
Yeah, you mentioned the leadership. I mean, Delaney obviously is a leader in more ways than one, I suppose, right?
100%. She has been an amazing mentor. Shout out Delaney. She's been an amazing mentor to me as a pitcher. You know, she's a junior pitcher. She has experience in the NESCAC, so it's been great to have her as someone with experience. No, she has my back, and she's been amazing. Awesome.
Do all the pitchers on this staff kind of bring different, you know, pitches to the table? I mean, what's the pitch variety like? I mean, are you a different type of pitcher than Delaney? Like, how does that kind of go in terms
of? 100%. Yeah. Coach Green, our coach pitcher, kind of describes me as a junk pitcher.
Okay.
So I would throw a lot of junk to get not so good contact off the hitters. So whether that be a curveball to get ground balls, a changeup to get a pop-up to right field, I'm more of a junk pitcher, whereas Delaney's a lights-out strikeout pitcher, you know, with a rise ball. So, yeah, definitely it's really cool that to be able to work with all the different types of pitchers on our staff, and I feel like I really have learned something from everybody. And, again, it's awesome just to be able to work with them every single day and learn something new and develop into a better player.
The Williams game is a good example, right? Four shutout innings, did not strike anybody out, but also didn't walk anyone, so that plays to that, right? Getting weak contact. Yeah,
exactly. It's more about, I think about it, I try to be less focused on, oh, I need to strike this person out, but more, how can I be effective? What is going to be effective in this situation? Throwing it more on the outside so that they're going to make bad contact, or trying to throw something down the middle that they might crush, you know? It's more, I try to think more of being effective. What can I do to be effective and help the team?
Got a pretty good defense behind you, it seems like. I mean,
100%. Again, shout out defense.
Yeah.
The team comes in, they work hard every single day to make those plays, and I wouldn't be anywhere without the plays that the team has been making. So the defense has absolutely been doing their job. So when the defense does their job, I know I got to do mine too.
Well, I was going to say, because your fellow first-year Maddie Miller has found a spot there at second base, it seems like.
She is awesome.
Yeah.
She's made clutch plays. She's really stepped into the role there, and she's clutch.
And that diving catch that Zaria made kind of set the tone the other day.
Another clutch play. She's everywhere.
Yeah.
Our outfield, the softball IQ on our outfielders is absolutely incredible. Just the way that they track balls, they pick them up, they know what to do. So the softball IQ is very high with them, and they've saved my butt a lot of times. So
I'm curious, as a first year, I mean, coming from high school, what have been some major differences between, you know, the opponents you faced in high school and the opponents you're facing now at the D3 level, and specifically, I guess, in the NESCAC also?
In high school, I played in the Merrimack Valley Conference in Massachusetts, so that was a pretty competitive conference. Mm. There were definitely some good collegiate players that came out of it that I faced. And again, as I mentioned, playing with my older sister, I've been playing with her my whole life,
yeah.
So I'm used to kind of playing with older kids, and that's what it feels like in the NESCAC. Just, it's, again, every game is a dogfight. Every game is a close game. So it's definitely more competitive, but I feel like the coaches and the leadership have prepared me for that.
Any adjustments you had to make right away, like, oh, this is different than high school?
Every hitter in the lineup is a good hitter.
Yeah.
1 through 9, everybody can rake. So that's definitely been something to adjust to. But again, I feel very prepared by my coaches and my fellow teammates.
You mentioned your older sister. Does she play anywhere, college?
She plays volleyball at Emmanuel College.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So she was more interested in playing volleyball the next level?
Yes.
Okay. Did you play volleyball with her too?
Yes, in high school.
Okay, yeah. What other sports? Was volleyball your other sport?
I played volleyball and softball in high school.
And what made, softball the one you wanted to, try to continue in college, I guess?
They just couldn't take the ball out of my hand. I love being out there on the mound, and I love being a part of a team and being able to contribute on the mound. So, yeah, that's what kind of drew me to softball.
Great. Well, Bridget Gaffney, our female Bobcat of the week, a 2-0 weekend for you personally. The Bobcats, again, off to a really strong start. Their next scheduled game on the calendar is going to be at Amherst this Saturday at noon, doubleheader, and a Sunday doubleheader at Hamilton. So, obviously, a bit of a road trip coming up. What are your thoughts on that?
Nothing we can't handle.
There you go. Bridget, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The lacrosse teams both lost midweek games to Bowdoin, only to bounce back to beat Connecticut College on Saturday. For the women's lacrosse team, Saturday was senior day at Garcelon Field. The Bobcats won 18-11 to improve to 7-5 overall on the season. Before the win, they celebrated their four senior captains, Olivia Hall, Olivia Joaquin, Emily Muller, and Caroline Taggart. And this week, all four joined the Bobcast. Well, what a senior day for the women's lacrosse team at Garcelon Field there on Saturday and win over Connecticut College. We have the four senior captains with us here on the Bobcast. And Olivia Joaquin, I don't think we've had you on before, so tell me a little bit about your background and what eventually led you to Bates and to play women's lacrosse here.
Yeah, so my older sister went to Bowdoin about 10 years ahead of me. I had two other siblings, one that went to Michigan, one that went to Elon. So I had the experience of being able to see all those different college experiences and kind of figure out which one would be the best for me. I loved the small New England liberal arts college. I only really looked at NESCACs from the beginning. I think that lacrosse definitely added a really strong appeal to Bates, and I think that I was really excited about how Bates is a little bit more of a laid-back type of person who also likes to work really hard and have a lot of fun. And I think that's definitely seen in the classroom, in extracurriculars, and definitely seen in lacrosse. And I've been playing lacrosse ever since I was in third grade, kind of just having rec, having a lot of fun with it. And then, in high school, it getting a little bit more serious and now onto the college level.
Great. Emily, how about for you?
Yeah, I started playing lacrosse in fourth grade kind of just because all my friends were playing, so I wanted to join in and stuck with it. My high school coach was really good friends with Celine Cunningham.
Okay.
So that's how I got connected to Bates in the first place. And then I came during COVID, which was crazy. I had to FaceTime Brett Allen while we were walking around the campus. And I fell in love with the school, just not even going into any of the classrooms or seeing the dorms. And I've loved it since then.
Yeah, all of you went through the recruiting process during the height of COVID. I mean, that must have been kind of a weird experience. What was it like for you two?
Yeah, definitely a lot of Zoom calls. I actually committed to Bates over Zoom and never saw the school beforehand, so that was kind of funny. I went to boarding school, and we couldn't see our families from September until Thanksgiving, so committed over Zoom in my boarding school dorm and FaceTime my parents, which was really funny. A lot of over the internet, over the phone, but I think the best part about that was you could tell through everyone you talked to at Bates how excited they were about the school and how amazing of a place Bates is. It didn't even feel as though you were missing so much not being able to be a part of the whole in-person recruiting experience, so that was really special.
And then Olivia Hall, obviously, the senior day, take us through, the emotions, kind of the pregame ceremony. What was it like from your perspective?
It was really special. The team celebrated us by decorating the locker room. They decorated it as a cinema and had like a red carpet for us, which we all walked down, which was really cute. And they decorated the locker room. They decorated the field for us. And they gave us some like Bates lacrosse gifts. And it was really nice to see all of their support for us all these 4 years. And it was really nice just to be celebrated by them and to be able to celebrate the team with them, too. And then after the game, we had a team lunch at Gritty's, and we just celebrated all together. And we got all the parents together and the team. And that was really nice to all just be together, like, as a Bates lacrosse community. And I think this year we have a really special team. We all get along very well and love each other. And on the field, you can really see that chemistry as well. So it was really nice to be able to celebrate all of our successes this year and in the past. So.
And Olivia, Joaquin, a lot of family members also, all of you had pretty big contingents. What was that like?
Yeah, so actually my brother surprised me the night before, which was very exciting. My brother is 5 years older than me, and he's in med school right now. So he has a very busy schedule. He's never been to Bates. He's actually the only person who's ever seen me play lacrosse. We went to Chicago our freshman year, and he was at that game. But all my other siblings have not been able to see me play just because of the age gap, and they're kind of in a different stage of life. So it was such a shock to see him, and it meant so much to me. I was really excited about that, and I also was just excited to show him around Bates in general and really have him meet my friends and all the family members in the strong Bates fan community.
Three of you play defense. And Caroline, you're the lone attacker. But Emily, you know, two defenders to your left and right. What's it been like, you know, working with them, you know, these 4 years?
Yeah, it's been awesome. We've tried a bunch of different defenses over the past 4 years. And I feel like we've all done a really good job of stepping up and kind of leading everyone through that, being the first people come to ask questions about it, leading by example, making mistakes in front of everyone and being okay with making those mistakes and showing that nothing needs to be perfect and everything's still a work in progress.
And then Caroline, you know, as a lone attacker, what's it like watching these three when you can't cross that line, right? You got to watch. What's it like watching them play?
Yeah, it's so much fun. I love, I stand usually the closest attacker to the restraining line. So I always get to watch them. And my favorite part is when we get a save and I see our goalie start to clear it up to one of them and they're running up the field and then the attacker's trying to get open for them. It's so special connecting on the field with people who are my classmates, but also I live with these three and they're my best friends at Bates. So that's such a special connection. And I love watching them get interceptions and those big plays on defense. It's so much fun to watch them.
Oh, so you're all roommates.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all live together.
A house, I assume. Just, yes. Okay. Yeah. What's that like, Olivia?
It's a lot of fun. We share a house with a couple of our other friends, and that's been definitely a highlight of senior year, all living together off campus. It's kind of fun. Like you feel like more of an adult, and there's a lot of, like, silly things that we do that I kind of wasn't expecting. I don't know, just, like, taking the trash out or, like, having to deal with, like, the heating not working and stuff. Like, we really feel like adults, and it's kind of funny to go through those adultness together like that, and that's been really fun, like, a fun part of senior year.
I'm glad taking out the trash is fun for now, you know?
Well, that's not fun, but it's funny seeing how we're getting older.
Excellent. Then, you know, Olivia Joaquin, we have two Olivias, so I'm your first and last name, but, you know, having Princess Zabel as a new head coach this year, what's that, you know, experience been like, you know, working with her?
Yeah, it's been really nice. We've been able to have a strong leadership, the four of us, because she's so new. She really relies on us for certain aspects of just general timing, communication with the team, and she really accepts feedback as well. So it's been really nice to work with her. She brings a great energy to our team, a desire to work really hard. I think in general, our team has been doing really well with having new things to work on. I think sometimes we can get a little bit in our heads, and I think having new concepts both on attack and on defense really lets us feel a little bit more loose and willing to try something new and make mistakes. And I think it's bringing really great energy, and I think she's really enforcing that we should be taking risks and making mistakes and learning from them and just really growing as a team all together. And it's been really impactful to learn together and to be able to be a part of that process.
Well, I know I talked to her, you know, right after she got hired, she's like, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to meet with every single player. So Emily, what was that, you know, meeting maybe like for you? What did you talk with her about?
I met with her in the first week and she kind of just opened up with who is Emily Muller. And I think she did that in all the meetings, which was really nice for her to get to know us as a person before a player. And I am majoring in math and classical medieval studies. So we talked about that for kind of a while and it was nice to just kind of talk about us before how many ground balls you have or what kind of defense you play, which was nice.
Caroline, you know, this past game, I mean, what were your thoughts kind of like beforehand? Like, you know, it's not the last time you're going to be on Garcelon Field, but it was almost like, it almost felt like it, I suppose, right?
Yes, it was definitely bittersweet. It was so fun. I thought it was really, honestly, inspirational how we all could have so much fun celebrating before, and then you really just saw a total shift in our energy when we got onto the field to start the game. Everyone wanted it so badly for each other, and I think it was just a phenomenal way to go out playing on Garcelon on our last Saturday home game with all the parents and the families. So fun to see everyone just wanting it for each other. It was so fun to celebrate everything from end to end, quarter to quarter. I think there was so much just fun play, kind of like Olivia talked about. That's something that Coach P really enforces, is just having fun, and when you're working hard, it's going to end up being fun, and it was really fun this whole weekend, I thought.
Olivia Hall, did you just feel like a win was inevitable?
Yeah, there had to be a win. It was awesome. Yeah, right. Yeah, we were all like so hyped in the locker room for each other, and it was so nice to be celebrated by our teammates and everything, and we all had such high energy. And then we went into the game all really being awake. Like, there was not one player that was a little bit sleepy or not on their A game. Like, we were all on our A game as a team together, and so I think that win was awesome.
All right, just to kind of wrap up this interview, I want each of you to kind of maybe reflect a little bit on what being a Bobcat has meant to you, kind of like what's been the most important part, what's been the most maybe impactful part, you know, in your 4 years here. We can start with you, Emily.
I think something that's different with this year is we've had a lot more pride and confidence in ourselves, just on the field, off the field. And I would say that in my last year of being a Bobcat, that really is something that's stuck with me, and I'll definitely take that on to next endeavors in my life.
Olivia?
Yeah, being a Bobcat, we always talk about the grittiness of Bates and how you are very hungry for the ball and you're doing everything you can to get it. Sometimes it's not the most beautiful way, but it's just working really hard. And I think, I know that we've talked about this a lot, but just having fun. I think that being a Bobcat is working hard and also looking around you and looking around at all the people who are also working hard and connecting with them and just having a good time in doing so.
Olivia Hall?
I think that being a Bobcat means love, hard work, and supporting your teammates. Walking onto this team, I was really surprised. I didn't know anything about the culture of the team, and I was really surprised to find just such like a loving and kind group of people. And I think something really special about being a Bobcat and being on this team at Bates is that really all of our teammates love each other, and we love Bates, and we love going to support other teams, and we also all work really hard on the field and together, and then also really hard in the classroom. And then also just going off of Olivia, like, we all love to have fun, and I think that being a Bobcat has been awesome. And yeah, I would say those are things, being a Bobcat.
Caroline, last word.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm biased, but I think our team is really special, and I think that's one of the best parts about being a Bobcat is we are so lucky that the people we play with, we actually love to be around on the field and off the field. We're a great group of people. I think we're special in a lot of ways of what we do extracurricularly, on the field. We work hard, but I think everyone's really said this. We have a lot of fun, and that's one of the biggest things that I'll take away from this program is that everyone on our team knows how to make anything fun, and there's always a silver lining to everything, a lot of positivity, especially this season. And I think that's one of the best parts about being a Bobcat is there's always some humor and some little like fun element in everything we do.
Great. Caroline Taggart, Olivia Hall, Emily Moeller, and Olivia Joquin. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. And don't forget, folks, Bobcats are home this Wednesday, 5 o'clock against Tufts. And then they have a couple road games to wrap up the regular season at Amherst and at Colby. Hopefully we'll get some postseason play as well. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The rowing teams competed on the Charles River in Boston this weekend, with the women's team winning their races against the MIT Lightweights, a Division I program, and fellow D3 school Simmons. The men's team also won their races against Boston College. On this week's episode, we're joined by women's rowing senior captain Hannah Burdick, who is sitting in the stroke seat this year for the Bobcats. Well, Hannah, before we talk about, you know, this year's team and the opening races to the season, you're a senior now, but take us back. Growing up, what got you into rowing, and then what led you to Bates?
Right. So I started rowing just before COVID. I'm from Hanover. I've moved a lot. I did other sports before rowing and then moved to this school where I could no longer do the sports that I had grown up doing, specifically rock climbing.
Oh.
So I was looking for a new sport, and this was a great opportunity to jump into rowing, which was really big in this high school town that I went to. So I was pretty excited about a sport where you can jump in when you're 14 and be a novice and still be able to get good at one sport from that age.
So you were rock climbing initially. What got you into that? I want to know more about that.
Yeah, my dad is pretty into rock climbing, but I think living out west, it's a bigger sport. And I lived in Oregon in middle school.
Okay.
Was always just kind of into climbing trees, and my parents sent me to be a competitive rock climber.
And then moving into rowing, that's obviously completely different. There's no similarities, probably, right?
Well, I would say that they both are full body sports,
okay. Yeah.
Which is pretty similar in that their rowing's more of endurance versus climbing is a lot more of power and instant pressure. But yeah, I think that they both do require you to think holistically about your whole body and how you're moving.
So you start rowing in middle school, and then you rowed for Hanover Crew, was your rowing club, and then what made Bates appealing, you know, coming from New Hampshire, where you went to high school?
I definitely love New England. I love the seasons. I wanted to be somewhere where I could prioritize both my academics, athletics, a solid YD3 moment, I really like the campus. I actually spent a few years living in Auburn when I was a kid, so it kind of felt like a first full circle moment. I have pictures getting pushed around campus in a stroller when I was two. Something about that kind of drew me in a little bit as well.
Were you born here? Or
no, I was born in Connecticut. I've moved nine times.
9 times. Okay, yeah. But for a brief moment, you probably don't have any actual memories.
My first memory is in Auburn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what is that?
Oh, I was being pushed in a purple stroller somewhere by my grandma.
Nice. So, yeah, a little bit of a full circle back in the area. And then as a first year, you got to be an alternate at the NCAA championships. What was that experience like right away, getting to travel and, kind of see what it was all about, right?
It was pretty awesome. My freshman year, we had a really deep team. We were coming off of a lot of NCAA wins. And so to get to be a freshman in this group of strong, powerful seniors was really inspiring for me coming into the next year when a lot of them had graduated. And it gave me this opportunity to have been somebody who's gone to NCAAs, who's seen what that process looks like and who's now ready to kind of step up and be in one of those boats with those people who are rowing at that level.
And now you're a captain. So what's it like being one of the leaders of this team?
It's definitely a lot. I think that I'm really excited by the fact that we have three captains this year. Previous years while I've been here, there's only been two. So my co-captains, Riley and Maddie, are just absolutely amazing at divvying up responsibilities and everything. But yeah, it's a lot more responsibility than I've had before, which is exciting.
Yeah, and you're in that first varsity eight, which you've been in, since your sophomore year. But you're moving around a little bit. You're no longer in the two seat. You're in the stroke seat this year. And the stroke seat, is an interesting spot, right? What's the biggest difference? What's the adjustment there?
Well, things are definitely always moving. But
yeah.
I think right now the biggest difference is in stroke seat, you feel a lot more of what's happening behind you versus when I was sitting in the bow for the last 3 years of racing. You kind of see a lot more of what's happening, and a lot more of it is following, and a lot more of stroke seat is feeling and listening. So it's kind of a difference in perception.
And you're right by the coxswain.
Yes, so super fun.
Both named Hannah. What's it like working with her?
She's amazing. She's just absolute fireball of energy, freshman coming in from a strong program. She's incredibly open to learning, open to feedback, and just makes these strong, punchy, metaphorical calls that occasionally, I almost start laughing, but it's always the perfect level of keeps you entertained, keeps you listening, but pushes you really to your... She expects a lot out of us, which is exactly what this boat needs right now, is a boat of mostly upperclassmen.
And this past weekend, you had your first couple races of the year, beat the MIT lightweights. Take us through that race. Nice victory there.
That was the ideal race in terms of how we plan and how we execute. And we practice this whole race plan in the erg room all winter. And we have this whole idea of how Bates' style of racing is supposed to go, with this kind of calm, collected start and then this sprint where we walk through the other team. And this is something that my freshman year, I felt like we executed a lot. And then the past few years, we've definitely kind of struggled a little bit in that department. But It felt like the power has fully come back this year, which is really exciting. We definitely started, we didn't let MIT walk us right off the start, which sometimes it can be demoralizing with how our race plan is executed, where other people will sprint right off the start line and then we can't even see them. So it's always motivational when you can still see the boat next to you. And then after that, we just kind of held them and they would try to take these moves and Hannah would call us back up to counter their moves and we'd be right back up next to them. And then by the time we got to the halfway point, which in the basin is this iconic long bridge across Boston, you go under the bridge and everything echoes and you can't see the other boat for a second. And it kind of brings you back out into this new beginning to the second half of the race. And we came out dead even from the bridge. And at that point, we kind of knew that we had beat them up and taken all their power and we just kind of rolled with it. And yeah, it felt amazing.
Terrific. And yeah, you beat him by 2 seconds, which is a fairly close race, I suppose, right, in rowing?
It's close. It's definitely close, but 2 seconds is almost a full boat length. So
true.
You do know at that point that you're solidly ahead, and 2 seconds is a lot to make up at that point.
The kind of the cool thing about these races is that your teammates are also in the same race, right, the second varsity eight? So they're pushing you also, right?
Yes. So that was fun. We actually hadn't gotten to peace against our second varsity eight this year because we got on the water so late because our ice just melted.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So that was super fun getting to be in a race with our teammates that are just as responsible for pushing us to that speed as ourselves.
Now, you mentioned the ice just finally melting. I know a big day is when the docks finally get to go in. Tell me about that day and why it's such a big moment every year, it seems like, right?
Oh, it's the most inspirational thing. We've just spent 8 weeks erging, which so much of the school gets to observe. We always get comments in the dining hall, oh, that looks horrible, that looks grueling. And we now get to kind of transition out of being watched in this dark room out onto the actual open water, and I feel our seasonal depression lifting. It's just this wonderful, wonderful, optimistic day where we rig all the boats and we get excited for the next day where we get to get on the water.
I know, obviously, we have our home regatta coming up at the end of the month, the President's Cup, and this year is kind of a special one, right, because it's, I believe, the 10th anniversary celebration of the first national championship. What's it like? You think you're going to have those alums, back most likely, right?
It's very exciting. Most of those alums from 10 years ago, I only know names. They go down in history, but they aren't too much people who I've met before, except a few of them are still in the coaching community. Mm. So they're people that we've heard about and we've seen around at different regattas. But it'll be definitely very exciting to kind of see where we came from up in person and have them watch us race and get to talk about all of that. I've only ever looked through old scrapbooks of kind of Bates rowing history, but it's fun to get to talk about it in person.
And what's it like rowing on the Androscoggin River?
Oh, it's the most beautiful thing. We have this bald eagle, sometimes named Jeff, that comes and says hi. There's always just kind of mist every week. Sometimes it'll be a white cappy and a little bit hard weather, but that makes us appreciate the days when it's not even more. Last Friday, we got to go out early morning and watch the sunrise from the water, which just starts your day out in the best mood you've ever imagined.
Excellent. And this weekend, you're got some more races, some big ones. Tufts and Wellesley and Wesleyan, and then also that's on Saturday, and then also WPI and a few other crews, I guess, on Sunday. So these are obviously opponents you will be seeing hopefully later in the year come championship season, right? What's it like to get an early test?
This is always one of my favorite weekends of the season because we get to race four times, twice on Saturday, it's heats, and then twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's fun because these are teams that at this point in the season, there's not too much pressure on it because we still have another month until championship regattas, but they're teams that we will be seeing at championship regattas. And it's amazing learning tool to get to know how we shape up to them right now and get to know how they're moving as a boat and how we're moving as a boat. Especially Tufts is one of the big names in rowing right now. Wellesley's pretty good, but last year we took them. So that'll be a good matchup with Wellesley. Yeah, and then the next day is all these teams that a lot fewer of them are in the NESCAC, but they're still big names in Division III rowing. So they're also fun to race against.
And different locations. You've been on the Charles River Basin. This past weekend you were on the Charles River Basin. Now you're going to be Malden River and then Lake Quinsigamond, right? So how do these venues, I guess, compare?
Well, the Charles Basin is always fun because it's just this huge open. It feels like a lake. There's sailing regattas on there too. And there's no lanes. It's kind of feels massive and you feel really small. But in the opposite of that, the Malden is this kind of curvy little two-lane river. Only two boats can fit next to each other. And there's actually turns in the race course.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah,
oh,
there's two turns. So if you get the inside of the first turn or the inside of the second turn, and that's a point where you get this kind of small advantage, which you then have to take into account when you get the outside of either the first or second. So it's this fun extra layer of racing where you kind of have this free speed, like the inside of a lap in the track. So that's exciting. And one boat gets to start two seats up. So that's always kind of a big deal. And then in the Quinsigamond, that one is really wide. There's probably six or seven lanes across. So that's a fun race because you get to be in the middle of this whole pack. Or even if you're on the edge, you can't even see the furthest boat away from you. And you're thinking about a lot more than just one team next to you. You're thinking about the whole field at once.
I don't want to look too far ahead, but you're competing this year at an event that I don't think the women's rowing team has ever competed in, at least during my time, the New York State Collegiate Championship Regatta. What do you know about this?
We're very excited about that one. We're excited about that one because it's teams that we do really care about in terms of how fast they are, but teams that we don't normally get to race before qualifying championship regattas. So we're going to get to go up and meet these teams and experience them at a course that I, in 4 years, have never gotten to race at. So it's fun always to go to a new venue, shake up the inconsistency a little bit. And, I'm pretty excited just to go to their home course for once instead of seeing them in Worcester.
Great. And then any other thoughts you wanted to share on this past weekend or the season so far we haven't gotten to talk about yet?
The biggest one, I think, is just the team's feeling incredibly deep right now. It's feeling, like, strong. All four boats did very well this year at this regatta, which is a great way to start the season, especially after only 3 days of practice on the water. And I'm really just proud of the entire team and what we've put in this winter. Our winter training, we definitely kicked it up. Captain's practices, we kicked it up at the end of the fall, and it feels like it's paying off, and we're pretty excited to see where that will take us.
Sounds good. Hannah Burdick, she is one of the senior captains of the women's rowing team. Bobcats again in action this weekend down in Massachusetts, both on the Malden River and Lake Quinsigamond. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcats. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
There are more senior day events planned this week, including men's lacrosse on Saturday and both tennis teams on Sunday. For the complete Bates athletic schedule, make sure you head to GoBatesBobcats.com. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.